Hi, everyone. This is James. Nice to see you all. About everyone here. I hope you can hear me. And I'm in London right now. I'm doing this live in London. I know some of you are early in the morning or late at night where you are. But welcome again to our hangout, our students get together. Very proud of a lot of you taking the classes and the different levels that you're at. And I hope all of you start with a mediumship course. I see that. So very, very good. I'm going to open with a prayer. So just close your eyes. I'll gently do some breathing and bring ourselves back to the center. And gently in. Into your heart and out. And in. And out. And in. And out. And as you breathe in, remember that you are a soul, expansive, limitless, light being going on limitlessly. And all the knowledge and wisdom of the universe is really within you. And just seek it out. It's just going within. Exhale. And we ask divine heavenly parents for your blessings, angels, loved ones, family, guides, teachers around us. We ask at this moment to open up our hearts and our minds so that we can receive acknowledgement, understanding, and be truly in alignment with what is needed today. We thank you and bless everyone on this call. And so it is. So welcome, everybody. We have a lot of people calling in. So I'm just going to really just let you ask questions and go from there, if that's okay. Press number 6 if you want to ask a question, raise your hand. And remember, if I don't answer questions here during the session, I can always go to my Facebook page at JVP School of Mystical Arts, and I'll answer them there. So Emily is with me. Thank you, Emily. And Emily's in California. I'm in London. Yeah. Emily, you pick out the people. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So people press *6 if you have a question. And let's start with, you have some on Facebook, James. Let's go there quickly while everyone else is lining up. So we have Suzanne who has a question. She says, James, I'm loving the course and will be staying up late to try to join you for the conference call.
Good.
But just in case I can't get in, she's curious. She's been told that she's trying too hard and it will just happen. But then she gets told that she needs to put it out there and ask for help.
Okay. So that's a very common question that everybody asks. And it's true, and let me just explain it to you, to everybody. When you start doing mediumship, it is practice, practice, practice. You know, we're so used to our society, this take a pill, you get over something, you get better, and it doesn't work like that. Mediumship is really a process. It really is a sense of development, and think of yourself as a flower, and it slowly opens a petal at a time. And it's really a sense of awareness, that you're slowly opening up your awareness and your sensitivity. So each part of that moment of opening up the journey that you're on, you really should be attentive to and be mindful of and just aware of each step that you're taking. Because it's a very subtle knowingness. It's not something that's going to hit you over the head. Like the psychic work is really more knowingness, is more active, I guess you would say, where mediumship is an active passivism. You've got to go step by step. The biggest thing to remember is this. If you put your ego to the side of you and you really just move it to the side and you open your mind up to surrender to spirit, you can let them just float in and just be there, be in your mind. And it's not you anymore. You're still in control, but they're going to influence you. So you'll be under the influence of the spirit. And it'll be them speaking to you in subtle voices, subtle thoughts, subtle whispers, and visions. And it might not make sense to you at all, but it'll make sense to your participant. And the biggest thing, of course, is practice, 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 practice. Every no is as important as every yes, because without the no's, you don't know what's yes. So you have to know the difference in the energy between the no's and the yes's. So let's start with that and be very subtle and practice. It's not going to be something right away. Okay? There we go.
Okay. And then we have two on development circles. So Hannah is curious, how do you know if you're in the right development circle for you?
Well, development circles are very interesting to get involved in, and it's very difficult to talk about development circles because it's really, you have to find the right people and the right mindset, and that's not always easy. So you'll go through a number of people in the group who come and go and come and go, because really a development circle is really belonging to people that are really involved in commitment. They have to be committed
week after week after week to really developing their own abilities. And so you're going to have a hard time finding certain people that where the group jives together. It's a matter really of day, week to week and day to day, and seeing who does jive and who doesn't jive. And spirit will work. The spirit will, you know, if the group does not come together and be uniform, spirit is a wonderful way of just saying bye-bye, and it'll get them out of the way. So it's a matter of really just, it might take several months, it might take a year, but keep on trying because you'll eventually get to the right mindset of people. Guarantee it. And you'll know it. You'll know it because you blend very nicely together. A good way to find development circles is in a spiritual church. You can find references to that. Or New Age bookstores, also another good way of finding that. And we're working right now on my website to bring back my development circle. I have references on that resource page where you can actually put in your city that you belong to in or country, and it'll pop up anyone that's in that area who's interested in development circles. So pay attention to the website because that's coming back up. We're working on that right now.
Perfect. Okay, and then Edna was curious. She's looking for guidance on which sitters in the development circles are quiet while messages come in, and then are the messages shared afterwards? Like, how does that work?
Okay, perfect. There were different types of development circles. So one circle might be just sitting there to see what happens to each participant. And you can do it many different ways. There are some circles, the sub-circles, that the participants speak during the whole thing. Every circle needs a circle leader, so someone who's in charge. It should be the same person every single week. To probably be at their house or their place, their room, their office, and they're the ones who really are in charge. They will start off with a prayer, and then each participant should say a prayer. Now, you can have an open circle, which means that people come in. An open circle is a circle where you have different people each week coming in. If you want to start with that, that might be easier because people change. And that's a good way to start your closed circle, which means a closed circle is really people who are going to stay committed to that for at least 6 months to a year. Very hard to do. But you'll eventually find a closed committed circle. And you can also do 2-1. You can have an open circle one day, closed circle the next day. Each circle is different depending on what you're sitting for. If you're sitting to be just in the power, then you're just sitting for each person and each participant in that circle to build up their power as they sit in that circle and blend and work with the chakra points, opening up the chakra points, bringing the energy up from the root, you know, from the earth all the way up to the top. And that's really what you're working for, and that's sitting in the power. As you sit in the power, you may become aware of guides. You may become aware of other beings, other spirits who are there to give you information. But that's not what the idea of the circle is. There's the power circle. You sit in the power. That's one circle. Another circle is where you sit with people, and you do sit for messages. And what happens is each one goes through what I do tend to do is work on the chakra points of opening them during the circle, quietly, not telling anybody, just doing my own. And then what happens is I just get myself a nice receptive state, and I become aware of where it steps into my mind, in my space, what spirit it is. And I like to keep it quiet to the very end, and I put it in the back of my mind. And then at the end of the circle, which is usually about 40 minutes, then you share, each person share any insights or any messages they receive. So that's the different types of circles.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phones. We have someone, it looks like it's an international caller at 11519.
Hi, I'm a brand new student, and I'm so excited. And I would just like to know, in sharing my excitement with family members, I have a sister who's a Jehovah's Witness, and I've asked my father, who's on the other side, if he could go and help her to have an experience so she could open up to the reality.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. First of all, where are you calling from, sweetheart?
I'm calling from Ontario, Canada. I can't believe I'm talking. I'm so grateful for what you've done.
Thank you. I'll be up there soon. I'll be up there on a 5-city tour through Canada, all the different provinces. So
awesome.
Yeah, sweetheart, it's hard what you're asking because, remember, number one, you're doing this for your own spiritual journey. And we will pick our journeys before we come back onto this earth. Pick our soul families, our soul groups, and you pick that sister you have, that soul sister. She has a right to believe the way she wants to believe. You have a right to believe the way you want to believe. And your father, you know, he will watch it all happening. I think that we can just put it this way. You could put the seeds in there, sow the seeds. And when they're ready to come out, they're ready to come out. And you really shouldn't be bothered by her if she's judging you or limiting you, and vice versa. If she has a path that she believes, to get to her light, that's fine. I don't think you should press your dad upon giving her a sign. I think your dad is very, very aware from where he's at, where she's at on her soul journey, and because he loves her very much, he'll, of course, do the right thing for her. So I wouldn't worry about that. I think this experience should be for you and for your own development. And eventually, if you want to share some of the insights that you get, you can always say, you don't say to people on Medium, but you can say, I had a dream last night. And through that dream, someone spoke to me and they said this. People will be much more accepting of dreams because we all have that in common. We know what that means. So people are much more open to dreaming. So you can use that reference, say, I had a dream last night. Okay?
Good idea. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Nice speaking with you.
Nice speaking with you, too.
Okay. Let's go to Janice at 631.
Sounds like New York to me.
Janice,
are you there?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I'm here. Sorry.
Hi,
James. How are you?
Hi, you're a New Yorker.
Yes, Long Island, Port Jefferson. I'm so excited to talk to you. I just love this course. This is helping me so much.
Oh,
I just
want to
thank you so much. Oh, this is great. I'm up to five.
Oh, great. Good girl.
It's great. I just love it. It's very validating. Very validating for me. So it's perfect. My question is, when I do readings, I tend to get names, but the names are often wrong, but the initial is right. So I don't know what to do with that.
let's play with it this way. I don't want you to pay attention to names.
Okay.
You know, there's some people that can get names, other people can't get names. I think you'd be really, really better at developing the personality of the spirit and letting them blend with you and bringing that personality through to the recipient. I think that would be much better for you to really work on that, letting them blend closer to you and you becoming them. That's probably better. And I think mediumship in general, if you do that, it makes the message much more real for your recipient and the people that or anyone that's watching, and you feel it more. Otherwise, it becomes more like you're snatching things in the air. You don't want that. You want to blend fully with you and become that spirit. So try working on that. Eventually, you'll get names. Every once in a while, they'll pop in. You'll get really good, great details. And that's what you want to do. You want to blend first, and then later on, you'll get the real strong details, okay?
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And don't rush it. It's a process. It's a real process. It's a great process, as you know. So just enjoy it.
All right. I am, and I'm really enjoying the course. Thank you so much.
Ah, great, sweetheart. Thank you, darling. Nice speaking with you, New Yorker.
You too.
From London. Okay.
All right. And just a reminder, press *6 if you have a question. And let's go to someone who is the area code 580917.
580. Where would that be? Let's see. California. Hi. Where are you calling from?
Hi, James. Well, this is Nicole, and I live in Oklahoma, but I'm in Seattle right now.
Okay. That's Seattle. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Nicole. How can I help you, baby?
Hi. So I'm calling because I have a question about chakras. When I do my mediumship sessions, I've been told sometimes to leave your root chakra really open, and sometimes it's helpful to close it and keep your crown really open. So is there a way you would like to see them? Is there, like, maybe a percentage you'd like to see each one open at for our mediumship readings?
Oh, good question. Very good question. I tend to personally, what worked well for me, is I like to keep my root open. So I'm always grounded to Mother Earth. I'm always grounded to the earth. And it's also, I'm not sure if I talked about this in the course, at the base of the spine, you create a wonderful tube of light going down to Mother Earth. It's like, I call it the poop chute. Because all the energies, excess energies in the body, in the energetic body you don't want, you can get let it go down that way. And the root chakra, you want to make it open, because you want to keep it open with your mind, because you want to bring up Mother Earth energy to help stabilize you and really ground you. And you stay in the body when you're working. You don't go out of the body. You're in that body. Now, the crown chakra, I also remain open because I want the cosmic energy to come in that way. and I don't close that off. I'm always open to inspiration that way. I'm always open to being aware. It doesn't mean I'm open mediumistically, but I'm definitely aware of receiving energy from the cosmos that way and receiving energy from the earth the other way. But the other chakras I do close. I focus on those being closed when I'm not working. And then when I start working as a medium, I will open those up. And that's done for different reasons, not only energetically, but it also gives a sign to the spirit world, hey, I'm ready to work, let's go. And lastly, it opens up your mind and it shifts the mind's focus and awareness. You know, I'm opening up these chakra points now, and that means I'm ready to work. Now, you don't necessarily need to open the chakra points every time you do that and sit there and say, okay, I'm opening one, number the second, third, fourth. For me, though, I found that was really, really helpful because then I got into the habit of making sure when I'm working, I'm opening up those points and opening up the focus. And when I'm closed and turned off, I shut them down. So it's a good habit to get into. You don't want to remain open in those little chakra points as you're walking around because it will pick things up. But the top and the bottom is fine.
Okay.
The top and the bottom, for sure you can.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome, sweetheart.
Okay, just a reminder, everyone, star 6 is your question. And let's go, there's a good one on Facebook here, James, from Al, who saw you a few months ago in Red Bank, New Jersey. And at one point, he noticed what looked like a couple dozen people standing behind you in the darkness. He asked his wife if she saw what I did, and she said yes. When you went out to intermission, they followed just before you walked out to return. They came out again and lined up. He's curious, were these actual people, and if no, were they guides or spirits that wanted to communicate?
Oh, that's very good. Very, very good. I like that, Al. Well, that's an excellent question. It could be both. Number one, whenever I work on the stage, let's say, or really just doing a one-on-one, I'll always have guides behind me. So definitely I have guides behind me, probably usually roughly four or five guides around me, six guides, depending on the audience. And also, besides them, there are spirits, regular people that want to speak to, their loved ones in the audience. So now the thing I'd say to Al is try to tune into what the energy of that being feels like. Does it feel like a wise, joyful, loving being that would be a guide? Or do they feel like an everyday, ordinary person that would be a spirit? So that's a little more focus he would have to do for that. But it's a great exercise. And not only me, but people that are out there who are doing this mediumistic work, develop your clairvoyance, that's actually a good way to do that, is to see who's standing behind somebody. What do they feel standing behind somebody? Do they feel like a guide? Do they feel like an ordinary person? People can do that. Now, the best way to do that would be when you're looking at someone or even walking down the street, don't look directly at them, but look to the side of them and kind of gaze off to the side and just get a sense of the energy, what it feels like, their energy and then the energy around them. And after a while of doing that and practicing that, you begin to distinguish between the guide energy and the spirit energy. Okay?
Okay, interesting. All right. Okay, let's go to Lori Merrihue.
Lori Merrihue.
It's actually Diamond. I'm divorced joyfully. Thank you.
Love that.
Thank you.
Love it.
So I'm calling from Boston.
Out,
I'm in Boston.
Okay.
And
what lesson
are
you on?
I'm sorry? Oh, I'm four.
What
I just finished four. And
I'm
delighted. It's just delicious. I just really appreciate you speak with such eloquence, and I can't describe it any other way than delicious. I smile the whole time. So.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
So thank you.
Thank you.
So my question is there a way to indicate when your imagination takes over? Like how do you decipher if you've went from actual receiving a pure channel to your imagination?
That's a good, excellent question. And number one, your imagination is great. Use your imagination. It's great. At the beginning, we can use our imagination. Now, as you develop as a medium and you slowly become aware, when you're working with a recipient, you want to bring through evidential details about that person's life. So your job as a medium is to bring through that essence, that energy of the spirit, and present it as if you were doing a portrait of that deceased loved one. You're doing their biography. So you need at least like 6 to 7 to 8 pieces of evidential details. Once you pin down that, I call it pinning it down, grounding that, then you can bring that personality, that wonderful personality, and your recipient will tell you yes or no, or I don't know. And those are the only three things that the recipient should tell you is yes, no, I don't know. Once you get that yes confirmation, there'll be a beautiful energy. You'll love the energy. You'll work with the energy. Build up on that yes energy. If they say no, that means you have to try to listen to eat with the spirit world. You might send a thought to them saying, listen, you need to send that stronger. You need to be on my bandwidth. You're not in my bandwidth, so I understand it. My recipient is not understanding it. And you get to work with them. Remember I said earlier, there are a lot of no's. You have to be no before you can get yes. You have to be wrong before you can be right. So no's are very, very important. So I think that you should just play with it. It's a process. And at the beginning, imagination is fine. Just jump into it. Because sometimes we just have to jump into it, only because we might get stuck in our heads, and then we won't go anywhere. We'll choke up the message. So imagination, fine. But then once you start getting those evidential details, that's when you start the mediumship, and that you'll feel the difference. You will feel the personality. They come in love, so you will feel their love for that recipient. Mm-hmm. And it'll be very obvious.
Wonderful.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And practice.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we have a few spots. If anyone has a question, press star 6. And James, there's a few people on the Facebook page who are talking about accuracy and not being sure if they're accurate and how to develop accuracy. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about how you can kind of step into your power with that.
Sure.
Like becoming more accurate.
Sure. So a couple of things. Again, it's practice. And stepping into the power, which you just mentioned, is really very important because when you step into your power, and the difference, I've talked about this before in these calls, the difference between psychic and mediumship is psychic is a knowingness. So you go with your gut, you have a feeling about something, you feel about the past, you feel about the present, you feel about the future. If there's a murder case or a kidnapping case or a missing case, you'll really be using your psychic abilities to feel the energy of what that person feels like, what the situation feels like. Mediumship is really that sense of blending with the spirit. And I say blending because it's a good word. And I'll just, it's very similar to answer the other question, but the accuracy comes through, it's really difficult. It's a passive activism in that you have to be open enough in your mind that you receive them. It's not about you, the medium, it's about the spirit. So it's a subtle energy that you're really letting them come closer to you and blend so close to your mind that you become them. Now, the best way to do that, too, I think, is to be a natural detective, to try and find out as much as you can about that spirit by the spirit, not the recipient. I feel that this person had a good sense of humor. I feel they had blonde hair. I feel that they had problems hearing one ear than the other. And something just got to jump in, and what you hear and you feel. Now, the more you test it out with your recipient, for instance, the more you get yeses, you'll know what energy gets a yes. You'll know what that feels like. You know, and your accuracy will go up. Well, then, same thing with the no's. You'll know if they don't get it. So, no, it doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. You have to try harder then to listen and get more blending in with the spirit. That's the only way you can build up on that accuracy is to know the energy of the yeses and the energy of the no's. And again, it's a hard one. But once you're in, once you get that sense of that energy, you can't go backwards. You're in. You get it, you understand what the energy feels like, and you really just, that's what you're using each time. You cannot be afraid because fear will block everything. So once you're in your way, your ego, EGO, edging God out, gets in the way, it's really going to block things. So you really just got to open yourself up and jump on in and it's okay to be wrong. Try to be wrong. I always tell my students, try to be wrong. Go for it. Just even try to be wrong. Get something. And then eventually you'll start getting yeses. The no's will start getting the yeses. You'll see. So don't beat yourself up. Just be patient. Okay?
Okay. Let's go to 580917.
Hi, guys. It's Nicole again. Hi, James.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey. So I do have a question when you were talking about feeling. Oftentimes, you know, you talk about being in the heart center. You talk about opening up that heart and really feeling all the energy in a session. But my question is, when we're kind of in our spirit self, and we're moving around our body and opening our chakras, do you feel like you're reading from a heart space, or do you feel like you're solely in your crown chakra just receiving insights? Like,
oh, Nicole, I love you. Such a great question. Really, really great question. It's a really good question. So when I teach my classes in person, and as I do here, I always have to make a distinction because, okay, good. What happens is you really want to use a heart space to, number one, if you want to link in with that person, you can link in with them on a psychic level to heart. That's number one. Then what you want to do is you want to move above them, above their head, the space, the area above them, and the atmosphere, and use your spirit mind to come in then and receive that way and let the spirit blend with you. That's what you want to do. So you're feeling the empathy of the spirit, and you're feeling the empathy of the loved one, the recipient, and you're really feeling that loving connection. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Does that answer it? I'm not sure if that fully answers it.
No, it does. Right. So I'm kind of feeling the empathy of the situation, but I'm using my crown chakra to really connect and get the pictures and receive the impression.
Yeah, the only thing to be careful of, Nicole, when you do that is, so it's another way in. It's another way to get the message. But remember, you do not want to read psychically. And you got to be very careful when you do it this way because it's a good way to start. It's a good way in. It's a heart-to-heart. It's a good way to start. But you don't want to drop it to the psychic. It'll feel much easier to drop down to the, oh, I feel this about you. No. Then you want to go above the crown chakra, and you really then want your spirit mind to come over and let them take you over. It's the best way to describe it. And it's like an overshadowing where you become them. And when you become them, there's a real joyous feeling, too, where you are able to relay their personality, their soul, their essence to the living person. That's the joy in mediumship. That's the healing that takes place to prove there's no death. And, I mean, it's such, you know, when you connect like that on the heart level and then you move it up to the crown chakra and you really bring that spirit through, you definitely should start feeling your power in that. You'll be in your power, the effervescence, that champagne bottle cork opening. You'll feel that energy just rise. That's your power. And you always know that you're in the mediumship space if you're in your power. And there's a stream of consciousness that occurs. So there's a stream of consciousness. And remember, they speak very quickly and very fast. So you will, really, your mind will be in that space. So if you're not in that space, that means that your link is broken. Your connection is broken down. You've got to stop and reestablish your power and build it up, which means you might start again heart to heart and build it up from there. And then you get into that power space, and then you communicate again. But if it's broken, if you don't speak with a stream of consciousness usually, or if I, you know, walk around a classroom and see students with their eyes closed and nothing's coming out of their mouth, I know that they're blocking it. So, because when spirit comes through, there's an excitement, there's a real fun feeling. So that's what I know when students are in the power, when they're that fun, excited feeling, and there's a stream of consciousness. Okay?
Okay. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I hope you got practice, okay?
I did, twice yesterday. It was great.
Oh, good. Very good, very good, very good. Lovely.
Okay. Just a reminder, everyone, star 6 have a question. And, James, we have a few more on the Facebook page about development circles.
Okay.
So someone's curious, can you try to do a development circle over Skype or online?
Yes. You can do them over Skype. Yes, you can. You can do them on Skype. That's what I'm doing right now. You can do them on Skype. No doubt about it. If you have people's names and their addresses, that's fine, and you set up a proper time. Because it's really the energy, and it's the essence. It's much better, of course, having someone physically sit there in the circle. But if you can only relay it to Skype, that's fine. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. So, yes.
Okay. And then Marcia's curious. She's wondering if you can talk a little bit about working together with another medium and tag teaming and how the information comes through.
Well, that's interesting she asked that. Okay, great. So I'm doing that tonight, actually, in London. I'm working at a church in London tonight. I'm working with Lynn Proberg, who I did a class with in August. And we're going to be doing double links. Now, what a double link means, in a double link, you have two mediums. There'll be the number one medium, or A, medium A, and they're the ones who step forward and really establish the contact. So they will work to establish that contact. Once they get the contact, let's say I have a mother here. Her name is Sarah. She's 73 when she passes over. She has brown hair, and she has brown eyes. She had a cane before she passed. Her daughter's here, and she wants to give love to her daughter. The daughter's name is Missy. you know, all this stuff, and all the details come from the evidence. So that first medium establishes the contact. Now, the second medium is behind that first medium or to the side of them, step behind them. And what they're doing is they're going to work on the energy, the information that comes to that first medium. They're going to link into that information and then try to get that contact, the same melt. It's called, it's like melding your mind with the spirit and with that first medium. So, and what you want to do is you want to feed off the information that's already been established. Well, I know that that cane then was on the left side because she, her left leg was bent. I know that Missy wasn't her full name. So Missy was Margaret was the real name. I know that she then tells me, I feel him on a Tuesday when I pass over. So you're building upon the information that the first medium establishes. There's an ebb and a flow to the double links, and it's not always good. I mean, there's some mediums that just can't do it, double link. I've been with mediums that are fantastic. Lynn is fantastic to work with. Tony Stockwell is fantastic to work with. But a lot of other mediums, it's not easy because it's an ebb and a flow. It's a give and a take. And there's some mediums that are so, whether they're so insecure about what they're getting, whether they really are, their energy is just all about what they're in that contact, and they're not easy enough to let go. It's like it's a breath and a rhythm. There's got to be a natural rhythm. So if you have another medium that doesn't have that natural flow and that rhythm and that open, it might be difficult. So you got to practice that. But I love double links. It's actually I prefer double links sometimes to one-on-ones because it's, number one, you're not doing it all yourself, and you really are building up this wonderful portrait, and you're both using the best of yourselves to do it. So for me, I love doing that. And in practice, being the number one medium or being the number two medium, that's something you should definitely practice. I would say it's easier to do it in front of a group, like a platform mediumship demonstration, than it is one-on-one. You can do it one-on-one, of course, but I prefer doing it with an audience because you have multiple layers and multiple factors of people in the audience. Okay.
Awesome. It sounds fun.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be great tonight. I did it the other night with Tony Stockwell. We did it at a dinner theater thing. And it was interesting. I got a lady that passed over. That was a boy that passed over. And it was a boy that passed over. And this is a very good example. He said there was some medication involved, some drugs or medication. And that was it. And then he went on to something else. And I worked on that information. I just went through the information that felt right to me, like leaned right from my to me. And I actually asked the boy to show me the medication or the drugs, whatever it was. He went to the medicine cabinet, and I saw clairvoyantly. He opened it up, and on the prescription label was his sister's name. And I said, he died of an overdose using his sister's medication, didn't know the proper way of using it, and died from that. And it's exactly what happened. So I just he established first, and I went deeper in it. So it's a matter of just going deeper and deeper.
Great.
So there you go. It's very interesting. It's a journey and it's a discovery. Yeah.
Huh. Let's go to 303-501.
303. Denver, Colorado.
It's Denver. Hi, team. It's Lisa. How are you?
Ding, 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 ding. Magic question. Magic answer.
Hi,
you win. You win the bonus. What's your name, honey?
Lisa. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Lisa. I'm talking to you from London.
Hi, how are you?
So I can hear the accent. It's a bit of a British accent. And
can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, perfect. Can you, I've been attending a development circle, and I've noticed that I'm getting evidential details, but I'm also losing my connection pretty quick. Could you, I know you spoke about this earlier, but could you give some more details about how to regain my connection to spirit in the moment when I'm with you there?
So first let me ask about your development circle. How many people are sitting in the circle?
Well, you know, it's a little bit different than what you're describing.
I know it is. They change every week.
Yes. There's different people that come every week. So sometimes we can have 10 people, sometimes 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 10 to 20 people?
Yeah. It's a meetup
group. I would do that. I wouldn't do that. What I would do is I'd break up. I would do 10 and 10. At the maximum in a circle should be 12 people. That's the maximum. So if you want to break it up into two circles, I'd rather you do that. Everybody has two different circles of 10 and 10 or 10 and 8 or, you know, 10 and, well, you know, don't, I'd say 12 is the max per circle because then it just gets crazy. You know, you really can't control that. You can't contain that energy and it gets a little strange. So if you have somebody who comes with you like who has an experience, let them lead one circle there and you lead the other one. So, you know what I'm saying? There should be two leaders. Now, and you have to make sure everybody's sitting for the right information. So if you have brand new people coming in, you definitely have to sit there and say, so what is your background? Where are you from? Just so everybody knows what they're dealing with here, you know? And,
okay.
And then how they can all blend. Because remember, it's the blending first of the group together in a circle. And when you come together in a circle, you'll definitely blend the energy of the people there. So that's
okay.
Number one. And, of course, it has nothing to do with your mediumship, but I'm just telling the fundamentals of sitting in a circle. Now, if you have a person there, now, when the circle you sit in, do you give the information out right away, or do you keep it to the end?
Well, he leads us through a meditation, and then people just kind of go from there. So it's like a 15-minute meditation, and then you just start, and then it's just kind of like an open forum where people will start giving readings.
What?
And
so. I hate that. And that is fine. I just prefer not doing that. And the reason why is because that circle should be used for spirit to work on your energetic body and really open you up mediumistically. Your guides work on you. It's when two worlds come together and merge as one. And it seems that when you're doing that, when someone's speaking, now just listen to this. When someone's speaking in a circle, they're using the energy of that circle to speak. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to take away from the energy that's being built up in that circle. That's why I don't like people just blattering out anything as they get it, because then it also becomes about them. It doesn't become about the spirit, in my experience. And
okay.
I guarantee you, sweetheart, that's what happened in your experience. Would your person be open, your circle person be open to do a quiet circle for at least a half hour and then opening it up?
Probably.
I think it would work better, and I think the quality of the messages would be better. I think people would feel much better. I think people feel more in control. It feels like right now they're in their heads a lot when they're speaking.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And if you do that, if you start speaking with your heads, you begin to get to that point of called snatch and grab, which is the worst part of mediumship. You should never become a snatch and grab medium because it's you're not fully blended. So what I would say with you is you're making your contact, you're building up your power. You're very aware of the power, bringing the earth energy up, bringing the earth. Each chakra point is open. What I do is I will imagine like a furnace, like my red root chakra is a furnace, and the flame gets higher and higher, the second chakra, the third. And remember, the second one is emotional. Third is your power. Fourth is your heart. Fifth is creative. Sixth, clairvoyance. Then you can crown inspiration, philosophy, connection with the spirit. Just build up that tower. And what you want to build up is your excitement, because that's what the spirit will come to you. They resonate the excitement of the light, of the power, your power, and invite them into your space. Let's say you make a contact and you have a man there. Say, find out as much as you can about the man. Again, you become the man. Let him drop into your space and find out everything you can. If you leave, if you break that link, that means you're going to start all over again, go back to the ground, bring up the flame higher and higher, getting excited all over again, stepping into your power. It happens, Nicole. It happens. It's not easy, so you'll have to practice with that. My concern with you is I tune in with you. I just feel there's a lot of people around you in that circle who don't know what they're doing, and it feels like they're
grabbing.
That's what it feels like, sweetheart. I mean, you know, I'm very honest. And it just feels like they don't know enough about what they're doing, and it's becoming more of like a psychic type of maybe circle. I don't know how to describe
it. Yeah, no, you're right. It's kind of an open forum, so anyone
can you can have an open circle, but I just prefer it that people would stop and be quiet. And listen, it's great to sit in the stillness and the quiet. You know, when you can sit in the stillness of your soul, then you really start expanding. So tell the group leader that I mentioned to you that maybe the first 20 minutes you should all sit in silence, and then you see what each other got, and just take turns. And going around the room, going around the circle, one person, but go each person. Even if someone gets nothing, to say, okay, it's okay, friend. What did you feel anything? No? Okay, we'll go to the next person. That's fine. That way each person is involved, and it doesn't become about one person and then that one out. So try those little things I just told you. And again, connecting with your spirit, if you break the link, build up your power again, invite them back, and give you further information, further details. Don't just say, I have a father here. You need to know the name of the father, or how he passed, or what the birth date was. Ask him to show you his birth date. Show you a calendar with the, you know, with the date on it. Show you a clock. See what faces the clock hands are on. Is it 4 o'clock? Is it 8 o'clock? You have to ask them and then open up to it.
Okay.
All right. And be excited about it because they'll use that excitement for your discovery. That's it. That's the discovery. They'll use that energy in your mind to get the message through.
Great. Thank you so much.
So I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Eric. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Carrie at 442.
Hello, good morning.
I had a question
from, I'm still on level, the course one work, because I've had a couple of vacations, luckily.
That's very nice for you.
Yeah, I know, right? Hello, flick my hair. I was in Sedona, actually. It was the main thing. I had a light language read or session. It was just out of this world, literally. One of the things that the first lesson was that we were helping to heal the people, the souls on the other side. And I really resonated with that. And I would love to, one of my thoughts was to help people in hospice to transition all the way, like hold their hand and walk them across. So I didn't know if that would be something we'd be speaking about or training on in the course, this mediumship course.
You know what? It's a great idea, and I've met a lot of people around the world who actually, there's actually a name for it. It's like midwife for death. So there's an actual name they have for it. And it's popping up everywhere that there are those people that are there just for the transition, helping people over. I think it's a great job, great work, great work, lovely humanitarian work. I would love to do that. I've done it before, and I think it's fantastic. I mean, it really is. It's really helping them in the human way to move, because the spirit already knows, but it's the humanness that we have to work on. So that's great work. I think you should keep it up. I think you're very compassionate. I think it's really, really great. And just be sensitive with it and soft with it, you know. I think you should do it.
Okay. Is that something that you reflect on in the future courses, or that's separate from the mediumship?
I haven't yet. No, I haven't yet. It's really just mediumship. So I haven't done that yet. Might come up in my healing course that I'm going to work on next. I might consider that next for hospice workers or for those transitional workers. But that's a great subject, and I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Okay, wonderful. And enjoy London, darling.
Thank you, darling. Bye-bye.
Okay. Just a reminder, star 6 is your question. It looks like Lori at 508 has another one.
Lori, 508. Hi, Lori.
Hi there, me in Boston again. How are you?
Good, Lori.
Wonderful. I loved all that insight you just shed on the development circle 2 questions ago, because I'm going to my first development circle with another student who's on the forum who I met through this course, actually. So
fantastic.
We have really joyful anticipation about it this evening. So,
and are you joining the Facebook page also?
We are. That's how we met.
Yes, that's great. That's when we created that for that very reason. So that's
super cool.
It's great to find like-minded people, you know. And,
yes, like attracts like, right?
Like attracts like, and that's why we did the school, because it really has. This is not the first time I've heard that people coming together that way, and it's great. So fantastic.
Yeah, we felt on the phone. We felt like instant kindred spirit feeling. So we're really, really thrilled. So anyway, on another note, however. My question is this. I don't know if things changed for you over the course of your experience.
Yes.
Generally, of course, they have. But in this particular aspect, my question is, when you began and spirits were delivering evidential information of particularly tragic passings, and if your subjects, the people on Earth here were just dissolving and having it's just a horrendous experience. How do you, as the medium, stay focused and deal?
Great question. And it's a really important question, because I teach in the course, and I could have done a whole course just on integrity and responsibility. But being a medium, you have to be extremely responsible and have a lot of integrity, because you're working with other people's lives. And I always say it's about empowering someone, not disabling somebody. So you're there to empower that person. So how you deliver a message. Now, this just happened to me in Holland when I was teaching. I had a student, and he said, and it was a circle group, and real reading. He said, I have a young man here with a motorcycle. He was 22 years old, and his head hit a pavement, and his brain splattered everywhere. There was blood over here, blood over there, heart parts here, the missing finger here. Now, who needs to hear all that? Nobody needs to hear all that. That does nothing at all but make the recipient worse. They've already been through the death. They don't need to hear that gore, those gory details. The way the medium should have said, I stopped them right away. And I said, now stop it. I said, how dare you do that? How dare you say that like that? I said, how would you like to be the receiver of that information that your son died and that's what you're going to hear? No, 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 no. We don't do that. We're here as healers to build up. So what you would say is, I have a young man here. He's in his early 20s. I feel he was in a fatal accident with a motorcycle. Does that make sense? That's all you'd have to say. So your point, your mediumship, what you're supposed to get through to the recipient or the way you deliver that message. Now listen, the spirit can come to you and say, I shot myself, I blew my head off, and you could see it. And you could, they can come through to you that way, but you can't say it that way. You have to be respectful and responsible. So you would say, I have a young man here, and I know he committed suicide by a gun. You know, that's how you would say it. And so there's ways you say it to bring the message across that it's them, that it's the spirit, but it's how you say it, how you really bring across that message. It has to be in a helpful way that they get the evidence, they know who it is, but not destroy them. They've already been destroyed. Now, this is a very interesting one. The other, months ago when I was doing a demonstration, I had a young man come through who was died of a drug overdose. He mixed drugs or something, and it was a drug overdose. 21 years old, accidental death, which unfortunately I'm seeing a lot of those now. It's really sad. So what happened was he said his father and his mother were in the audience. And I can, you know, you carry on a conversation in your mind with a spirit, but you're also working with your recipient. So you remember, and I tell you this in the course, you're doing several things at once, like you're juggling. So he's saying to his father, Dad, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me, Dad. And because his father had a hard time forgiving him. And the kid said to me in my head, well, my father's had like this affair going on for the past 3 years. Now, I'm not going to. So the way it was said was really interesting because up to me, the medium, to say in a way that the father knew, the son knew, he knew what was going on. So the way it came across was, my guides helped me out too with this. So the guides will help you. And your son, you know, he's saying, no one's perfect, Dad. No one's perfect. You know, we all have indiscretions. You know, we all do. You know that, right, Dad? You know, and I said it in a way, I presented it in a way that mother was not affected by it at all. She did not know anything about it, but it was said that the father, and I looked at the father a certain way, that he knew exactly what his son was saying. But I'm not going to kill the father, destroy the father, and the poor woman right there, right? So afterwards, the father came to me at the book signing. He looked at me and goes, thank you. I got the message loud and clear from my son.
Ooh, wow.
So we can read into it, we will, but you have to be the responsible person, your healer. So
well,
I hope that helps you, yeah?
Listen,
also remember this. They might present you, as I said before, the spirit will present you sometimes. You might see in your mind's eye, you might feel a real tragedy, like someone was, you know, fell down on the floor and blood everywhere and guts and all that, and you might see it that dramatically. It might be the spirit's way of portraying it to you so strongly, because remember, they've never done this before, so they might try to think they have to send you everything. You do not want to use everything. You want to know, okay, you see the scene, and you can convey the scene. At the same time, you do not have to be graphic. Okay?
Got it. Thank you. To follow up with that, James, do you have times where you feel so empathetic that you want to cry, or are you so in the zone?
Oh,
that
God,
you don't
yes.
feel like
oh,
that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I've been on stage every time I go out and do a demonstration. I'll be on the stage and say, I'm going to cry right now because it's so strong. The emotion comes in so strongly, and I feel it as an empath and a sensitive. I feel it, but I have to put it to the side in that, like a surgeon at a surgery who's afraid of blood, he or she has to operate, and yet they got to do their job, the bigger picture. They got to do their job. So I feel the emotion, and I let it sit there. And I go, I feel like I'm going to cry. I tell my audience, I'm just being honest. I feel like I'm going to cry. I just got to tell you that. And I can't let that get through to me because I got to bring the message forth. And that's really the important part is you bringing that message forth. That's what you're there for. You're not there to cry. You can feel the emotion. The audience or the recipient can know that you're feeling it, but you can't let that take you away because you have a bigger job to do.
Right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. You're very welcome, sweetheart. Thank you. Keep it going.
Right.
Okay. Last chance. If someone has a question for Star 6, and I just want to let you know, James, we have a lot of people who've posted about development circles and looking for some. So I just want to let people know, like, there's someone in Australia and Bingo, Detroit, Boston, Los Angeles, Mesa, Arizona, Bogota. So maybe even Hawaii, some of those people could maybe get together and try one on Skype.
I think it's a great idea. They try on Skype, that's fine. And maybe I'll do something on development circles myself and do some seminars on that. But I'm also going to have people on my homepage who are working on create. Well, we had at one time my old website. We're trying to get it back now, which we will, which is really helping people out with development circles. And there'll be the resource on the resource page. So everybody should keep their eyes open on that. And once it goes up, Emily, we'll make a notice on the Facebook page, the Mystical School of Arts Facebook page.
Perfect.
We'll make that notice, okay?
Awesome. All right. So let's do one more question. We have Anonymous. So it's a mystery caller.
Anonymous. Okay. So I'll use our psychic powers to find out who Anonymous is. Is it a man or a woman? I feel a woman.
Okay. Hello. It might be me.
Who is that now?
Hi, James. My name's Mary. I'm in Scotland.
Oh, hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, honey. I'm just loving the course. I have a question about a concept that I was taught. It's to do with the ego coming in, getting in the way, so when you doubt what you're getting. I was taught to go with the first thought. What's your feeling on that? Because I still find it hard. I take the first thought and then think, was that me or is that them? How do you get over that?
Ah, wow, you got to get over yourself. So, let's see, how long have you been studying, Mary?
Oh, crikey, on and off, 20 years.
Have you been to the AFC?
Sorry, say again.
Have you been to Arthur Findlay College in England?
I would love to. It's my dream, especially now I'm in Scotland, but...
You haven't.
Maybe one day.
There's another... What part of Scotland are you in?
I'm in the Outer Hebrides,
okay.
A little island off the west coast.
Okay, so you're not near Edinburgh then?
No, not terribly near.
Okay.
A long ferry journey away.
I'm actually seeing Gordon Smith tonight. Do you know Gordon Smith?
Oh, yes, he's wonderful.
Yeah, gonna go to his church tonight. I'll see Gordon Smith tonight. So the ego, remember, ego is E-G-O, edging God out. So, you know, it's not about you, it's about the spirit. If you sit properly and you develop properly and you work with the chakra points, and this is in my background, how I work, I'm meeting people differently, and I step into my power, I know the power that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And then really what you got to do is work out your information. You got to work out all those details and make sure they stick, they make sense to people. If they don't make sense to people, then it's coming from you. So that's
right.
The way to tell. You know, if your information is not making sense at all to anybody there, then it's coming from your own imagination. So you got to stop, reestablish your power, and really try to connect with the spirit. Does it feel like a mother? Does it feel like a grandmother? Does it feel like an auntie? Does it feel like a son? You know, what does it feel like to you? So go with your feelings a lot more. You know, you have to get from the head to the heart. So make sure you come from the heart. You got to feel who it is. So that's the best way to do it, start feeling and see where your evidence, your information is placed, and it makes sense to the recipient.
Right, that's great advice. Feel it rather than think it.
Yeah, yeah, you can't think because mediumship has nothing to do with brain cells. It's more like the heart and blood. You go with the heart, not the head, because the head will get in the way, and the head is critical. If you leave it in the head, it gets critical and judgmental. And it's not about that. It'll go right through your heart. You feel it. Okay, my love?
Wonderful. Thank you, James. Yeah, brilliant.
Okay,
thank
Mary.
You.
Thanks, Mary. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, it looks like that's it for today, James.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, very much for phoning in and calling in and continuing to join the course. And we post every day on the Facebook page, and we'll keep it posted on new things. If you have any questions, again, ask on the Facebook page so we can answer it. I check it every day, no matter where in the world I am. And thank you, Emily. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye, everyone.